Hello and welcome to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Dr. Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. And produced in the studios of WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee and the Voice of Hope in Los Angeles. This is edition NWS 806 for release on Sunday, August 4th, 2024. On WaveScan today, AFN Europe, the early years, still more historical South American radio recordings, and our Japan DX report. A couple of months ago, on June 6th, world leaders and military veterans commemorated the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings on the beaches of Normandy in 1944. AFN Europe took part in those landings, which we thought deserved comment in our program today. Of course, following World War II, the American Forces Network in Europe grew to become a major AM and FM radio network, with stations covering much of West Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands during the daytime, and the whole of Europe at night. The flagship station in Frankfurt operated on 872 kHz, with 150 kilowatts, and was beloved by Europeans who enjoyed American music and culture. On the 25th anniversary of the network in July 1968, a commemorative brochure was produced, which included information about the network's humble beginnings during the last years of the war. Let's go to Ray Robinson in Los Angeles.
Thanks, Jeff. Here's the article about AFN's early years as recounted in that brochure. The idea for the American Forces Network was hatched at the very highest level during World War II days when America was beginning to build strength for the big cross-channel push. It came out of a conversation in early 1943 between General Dwight D. Eisenhower, Commander-in-Chief of the European Theatre of Operations, or ETO, and General George C. Marshall, U.S. Army Chief of Staff. They agreed that the American soldier needed the same sort of information media he was accustomed to at home. He was to get a magazine, later called Yank, a newspaper, Stars and Stripes, and a radio network, AFN. Well, so much for the idea. As an organization, AFN came into being a few days later at a meeting in the London office of Lieutenant General Jacob Devers, ETO Chief of Staff. He showed a group of officers a paper on the Eisenhower-Marshall decision. The general turned to a young captain named John S. Hayes, later appointed as U.S. ambassador to Switzerland, who was there because of his radio experience. "See this part about a radio network?" "Yes, sir." "We'll start one." At this point, the slightly reeling Captain Hayes became the first AFNer. He couldn't call himself that because at that point the network had no name. Hayes must have reflected as he walked from the general's office that a name was the last thing the network needed. There were such minor matters as staff, studios and transmitters. He didn't yet have an office, nor even a typewriter, but he got to work fast. First, he wheedled some working space and a secretary. Then it was over to personnel for a laborious sifting of their personnel records, no machine record cards in those days. And finally, 3 weeks later, he had the help of 12 former radio men. Among them was Private First Class John Vrotsos, who civilianized after the war and remained with the network a full 20 years. Meanwhile, the State Department, prodded by Captain Hayes, was getting the help of the British. The BBC came through with studio space in an auxiliary building it maintained on Grosvenor Square, the same one from which Edward R. Murrow did his famed This Is London broadcasts.
This is Trafalgar Square. The noise that you hear at the moment is the sound of the air raid siren. I'm standing here just on the steps of St. Martin's in the Field. A searchlight just burst into action off in the distance, one single beam sweeping the sky above me now. People are walking along quite quietly. We're just at the entrance of an air raid shelter here, and I must move this cable over just a bit so people can walk in. There's another searchlight just square behind Nelson's statue. Here comes one of those big red buses around the corner. Double-deckers they are, just a few lights on the top deck. In this blackness, it looks very much like a ship that's passing in the night, and you just see the porthole.
And that one was from August 1940. Other British authorities granted frequencies, and five tiny 50-watt transmitters were built in areas of American troop concentration. Things were in readiness by the nation's birthday, July 4, 1943. AFN signed on with a star-spangled banner and broadcast for 4 hours. "None of us could possibly have believed," Hayes recently wrote, "that 25 years later AFN would still be operating in Europe. Operating it is, and it hasn't missed a single day of broadcasting in the whole quarter century." Hayes was to be with the organisation for 2.5 years, rising to lieutenant colonel in the process. By the time he left, the network was operating 68 stations from England to North Africa. It had nearly 700 staffers, its own vehicles and its own plane. The network even had its own uniform patch. Programming during this period couldn't have been better. The Armed Forces Radio Service was recording and sending over the cream of the programming from 4 American networks. And this, remember, was during the heyday of radio. There was such a superabundance of material that officials had difficulty deciding what to leave off the air. A large number of America's talented young entertainers from radio, the movies, and the stage were also answering the wartime call to colours. AFN got the pick of them, including Sergeants Mickey Rooney and Broderick Crawford. It also got some pretty incompetent people, like the officer who was informed that a man on a remote link couldn't get a return feed. "Well," came the reply, "tell him to order some." AFN people saw plenty of action. One of them rode on an RCAF, Royal Canadian Air Force, mission and described it vividly. AFNers crossed the channel with the troops on D-Day. Mobile transmitters were assigned to the 1st, 7th and 9th Armies and moved right up with them. Inevitably, there was tragedy. Sergeants Jim McNally and Pete Parrish were both killed while reporting frontline action.
"Soldiers and sailors, Marines, blacks and Coast Guardsmen too. This is your station, broadcasting only for you. Bringing you music, news, entertainment from home. With you on the road to Berlin is the AFN."
Memories of World War II are many and varied. Hayes recalls being ordered to play some idiot tune like Lily from Laguna at some precise time, say 13:07 hours. In addition, we had to play Sur le Pont d'Avignon 14 times in a single day, he laments. He never did find out why the orders were given. No doubt the tunes were a signal to the French underground or some other group in German-held territory. Ex-staffers still recall fondly some of the places that were pressed into service as studios as the war advanced. Programs went out, for example, from the former abode of Napoleon III in Paris, and also from a spot at Reims, directly above 9 million bottles of Pommery champagne. The headquarters and main broadcasting operation remained in London right through to the end of hostilities, engendering jittery memories of the buzz bomb era. You could hear the motor as a bomb got near, and all you could do was hold your breath and pray that it would keep on buzzing past. If the motor cut off, you could brace yourself for a shattering blast. AFN's headquarters were never hit, but programming was interrupted 3 times by blasts so close that they jarred the needle off the disc that was playing. And not one word about the bombs could go out on the air. There was a complete blackout on news of them to keep the Nazis from knowing how terrifyingly effective their secret weapon really was. With the spring offensives of 1945, AFN moved into Germany with the troops and established stations at Munich, Stuttgart, Frankfurt and Berlin, plus one at Bremen that later moved to Bremerhaven in 1949. At first, AFN Frankfurt was just another of the 68 stations. It went on the air July 15, 1945, and its first home was a large residential building only a few blocks from the site of its present modern studio building. This place was typical of the AFN homes in those chaotic days. The studio walls were soundproofed with bolts of uniform cloth, and there was no room to accommodate the Glenn Miller band when it wanted to make a broadcast. Concerts had to be held on the lawn outside. It was decided about this time to move AFN headquarters from London to Frankfurt, and that actually occurred at the end of 1945. US facilities were being phased out in Britain. Germany, as an occupied country, would be the new centre of American military activity. The house occupied by AFN Frankfurt clearly wouldn't do for the network headquarters, so they started looking around for a more suitable home, and AFN was soon launched into the 21-year-long Castle era. Well, that's all we have time for today, Jeff, but maybe we'll come back to that AFN brochure in a future program. For now, back to you.
Thanks, Ray. Next week, Ray Robinson will be taking a look back at the era of shortwave broadcasting from the Caribbean island nation of Haiti. Today on WeScan, we continue with a series of recordings from Jonathan Marks' media network Vintage Vault. These recordings were made by Dutch DXer Martin van Delft and passed on to Jonathan by another Dutch DXer, Max van Arnhem. These are recordings of radio stations in Brazil, Argentina, and Uruguay.
Você está na ZYR56, Rádio Excelsior, 670 kHz, São Paulo. ZYR56, Rádio Excelsior, 670 kHz, São Paulo.
Rádio Gazeta TR6, São Paulo, Brasil. Ondas médias, 890 kHz. Ondas curtas, 49 metros, 5.955 kHz. 31 metros, 9.685 kHz. 19 metros, 15.325 kHz. Frequência modulada, 88.1 MHz. A Rádio Gazeta inicia neste horário mais um dia de atividades. Senhor ouvintes, bom dia.
TRF3, Rádio Difusora São Paulo, Sociedade Anônima. 960 kHz. TRG2, Rádio Tupi, 1040 kHz. São Paulo, Brasil. Sociedade Anônima Rádio Tupan, TRG2, 1040 kHz. São Paulo, Brasil. Programação Super Tupi.
Alguma coisa importante aconteceu. Por isso é que a Jovem Pan apareceu. É sempre assim, é de primeira mão. Jovem Pan aparece.
Jovem Pan, Rádio Pan-Americana, 620 kHz, São Paulo. Aqui, Jovem Pan, Rádio Pan-Americana, 620 kHz, São Paulo. Esta é a Rádio Pan-Americana. TRH7, 620 kHz. Jovem Pan, São Paulo.
ZYZ9, onda média, 1210 kHz. ZYS43, onda curta, 9545 kHz, faixa de 31 metros. ZYS30, frequência modulada, 92.3 MHz. Rádio Universo de Curitiba, audiência nacional, a voz do Paraná melhor ouvida do Brasil.
ZYH-262, ondas médias, ZY-60 e ZY-61. Emissoras de ondas curtas da Rádio Guaíba de Porto Alegre, Rio Grande do Sul, Brasil.
ZYH-266, Rádio Farroupilha, Porto Alegre, Brasil, 50 kW. Em ondas médias, ZYH-266 em 31 metros, 9.730 kHz. E 19 metros, 15.335 kHz.
Solo así, solo así, estaremos siempre en el gusto de usted y solo queremos darle, darle las gracias a usted por su atención.
Transmite CX14 El Espectador de Montevideo, Uruguay, en sus frecuencias de 810 kHz. Y 11.835 kHz, la más frecuente de las frecuencias.
Transmite CX18, Radio Sport Montevideo, Uruguay.
En sus frecuencias de 800 kHz y 6.045 kHz.
Carmen.
Con mejor calidad.
Telefonizada, más potencia. Carve.
Transmite CX16, Radio Carve de Montevideo, Uruguay. La emisora de mayor penetración en el cono sur, en 850 kHz. Y CXA13, en 6155 kHz. Banda de 49 metros.
Servicio Oficial de Difusión Radioeléctrica, Montevideo, República Oriental del Uruguay, por intermedio de sus estaciones CX6, 650 kilociclos, CX38, 1290, CXA4, 6.125 kilociclos, CXA6, 9.620 kilociclos, CXA10, 11.900 y CXA18, 15.300 kilociclos.
Discodromo Show en Radio Sarandí. 690 de su dial, de 14 a 20 horas, de lunes a viernes.
Informa Radio Centro Sarandí.
Presenta Confitería Oro 18 en la calle de la Dulzura, Libertad Casi Cavia, a una cuadra de Avenida Brasil.
Thank you.
aquí RAE. Desde Buenos Aires, República Argentina, RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior, inicia su programa de las 19, hora de Greenwich en idioma español, por la onda corta de LRA Radio Nacional, en su frecuencia de 11.710 kilociclos, banda de 25 metros. RAE realiza estas transmisiones de lunes a viernes en español, italiano, alemán, francés, inglés, portugués y japonés. RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior, transmite su programa nocturno especialmente dedicado a las Américas y que se difunde por las ondas cortas de LRA Radio Nacional en las frecuencias de 9.690 kilociclos, banda de 31 metros, y 11.710 kilociclos, banda de 25 metros.
You've just heard some historical recordings of radio stations in South America made by Dutch DXer Martin van Delft, brought to us via Jonathan Marks's media network Vintage Vault, which you can find on the Internet. Martin van Delft also collected recordings of radio stations in the Caribbean, and will bring that series of recordings to you here on Wavescan in the coming weeks. Let's go now to Yukiko Tsuji in Tokyo with her DX report for August.
Welcome to the DX report of the month from Japan Shortwave Club, edited by Toshi Otake, and I'm Yukiko Tsuji. We have several DX reports from our club members this week. Radio Taiwan International from Tamsui was heard on 11995 kHz on July 6th from the sign-on at the 1700 to the sign-off at the 1710 UTC in German. SIO rating was 353. This was the test transmission and the schedule announcements and the folk songs were broadcast. This transmission was repeated at the 1730 on 9540 kHz with SIO 454 and at the 1745 on 7245 kHz with SIO 453. Radio Filipinas, Philippines, was heard on 9960 kHz on July 2nd from 1910 to the sign-off at the 1930 UTC in Filipino language. SIO rating was 454. Telephone interview was aired, ID was given, and the national anthem was played at 1928. Radio Thailand World Service was heard on 7475 kHz on July 3rd from 1830 to 1905 UTC in English. SIO rating was 353, then down to 342. National news was broadcast, followed by global news at 1847 and business news at 1859. Interference was from VOA, which signed on at 1858 on 7465 kHz. Bible voice broadcasting via Tashkent, Uzbekistan, was received on 9340 kHz on July 8th from the sign-on at 1200 to 1210 UTC in English. SIO rating was 242. Talk program and the gospel song were on the air. Interference was jamming. Adventist World Radio via Moosbrunn, Austria, was heard on 17570 kHz on July 2nd from the sign-on at 1930 to 1940 UTC in French. SIO rating was 252. ID in English was given at 1900, followed by talk program and hymn in French. Radio Romania International was heard on 11975 kHz on July 4th from 1959 with interval signal to the sign-off at 2026 UTC in French. SIO rating was 353. ID was given at 2000, then news was aired, followed by current affair and music. Radio France International was received on 21580 kHz on July 7th from 1240 to the sign-off at 1300 UTC in French. SIO rating was 352. Talk program by a male announcer was on the air. Radio Exterior de España, Spain, was heard on 15520 kHz on July 8th, from 2045 to 2102 UTC in Spanish. SIO rating was 353. Talk program by two male announcers was broadcast. ID was given at 2045, followed by pop music program. Talk program by a male announcer started at 2100. VOA via Botswana was heard on 6195 kHz on July 6 from the sign-on at 2000 to 2016 UTC in English. SIO rating was 343. Interview and pop music were aired. Finally, Japan Shortwave Club will issue the QSL cards for the correct reports on our segment of WaveScan program. We are issuing QSL card by email to the report sent by email. Our address for your email report is jswcqsl@live.jp. I repeat, jswcqsl@live.jp. We continue to issue the printed QSL card by the same system as before. Your report should be addressed to JSWC PO Box 44 Kamakura, which is KAMAKURA, postal code 248-8691, Japan. One ILC or $2 for return postage will be appreciated. For this edition of DX Report, we'd like to thank Mr. Yoshiaki Hayashi, Mr. Iwao Nagatani, Mr. Kazuyuki Kuriki, Mr. Chiaki Shimada, and Mr. Kazuaki Oikawa for sharing the information with us. Thank you for listening, and please join us for our next edition of DX Report of Japan Shortwave Club.
Thank you, Yukiko. Thanks for listening to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. Next week on WaveScan, shortwave radio in Haiti and our Philippine DX report. WaveScan is heard weekly on KSDA in Guam, AWR relays in various locations, WRMI in Florida, WWCR in Tennessee, Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia, and IRRS Italy. Send reception reports directly to the station you're listening to. Reports for KSDA and other AWR sites should go to qsl@awr.org. Other correspondence, not reception reports, can be sent to wavescan@yahoo.com. I'm Jeff White at WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. Till next week, good listening, everyone.